Welcome to the Solo BG Podcast. In this podcast, we talk about solo and cooperative games. We also bring you news, audio unboxings, Kickstarter updates, and interviews with amazing personalities around the industry. We hope you enjoy this episode. And now, here's your host, Derek Rodriguez.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another episode of Solo BG Podcast, episode 126. And, well, if this is your first time in the podcast, like always, this brief introduction that this is a podcast where we talk about board games, particularly about solo and cooperative board games. But like always I said, or like I always said, I always take a look into non-solo games as well. It's just, you know, part of the deal that you get for being here. Anyway, this is episode 126. If you haven't checked out the previous episodes, please enjoy yourself. Go back and listen to them if you don't mind, you know, this accent that you're listening on the other side of the speaker. Once again, my name is Derek. And remember that Solo BG Podcast is part of the Dice Tower Network, and that you can check out another and other amazing podcasts on the DiceTowerNetwork.com or the DiceTower.com. And over there, you go into the Dice Tower Network section and you have a bunch of podcasts there, so you can check out. All of them are fantastic with a nice variation of approaches into the hobby. So it's always worth to discover and check out new content, right? For, you know, in an audio streaming way, I guess. And as you read on the title of this episode, today I'm going to talk to you about the Halloween games of 2023 that I think, you know, might be interesting to you. And those are the games that I've been playing during this month of October of 2023. This episode is being published on October 31st. I'm actually recording on the night of October 30th. So literally a few hours, I just finish recording, go to sleep, and then I publish it tomorrow morning. If you're able to listening today, which is Halloween, well, happy Halloween. And I hope this approach gives you a few ideas or other thoughts, or maybe some games that you were interesting into, you know, in order to play if you want to feel that spooky vibe on your gaming tables. And also, well, if you're listening in the future, meaning that you are, you know, listening in November or December and we're already in the winter, well, hopefully a few of these ideas will, or games will give you ideas, better say, for maybe Christmas shopping, who knows, or maybe games that you want to bring into your table even during the winter, and it still feels, yes, holiday, and, you know, nicely, and as we are approaching to Christmas and stuff, but also can turn into a spooky season if you would like to, you know, with the right atmosphere. But anyway, I'm going to tell you about four different games that I've been playing, the ones that I've really been enjoying during this month, and I'm going to give you a plus at the end of the episode of a fresh new game that you might be interested on and actually feels the theme fantastically with Halloween. Some of these games, you maybe have seen pictures that I have posted in our social media. If you haven't, well, remember that you can always follow us on Solo BG Podcast at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X, now rebranded by Elon Musk. And anyway, you can check out the content that I post there, you know, very often, pictures of what I'm playing and stuff like that. We recently reached to 1,000 followers on Instagram, and I'm very grateful for that, and I really appreciate to all of you that, you know, you take the time to go and check it out over there and give it a like. And if you haven't, once again, it's always appreciated, and that's a way of supporting the show. Go into Instagram or Facebook and give us a like, or Twitter or X, and following us, that's always appreciated. And like always, before we start with the games, my way of interacting with all of you, of course, is mentioning at least, as it's already a tradition here in the podcast, the main countries and the main cities that they listen to the previous episodes, because in comparison with YouTube, well, I don't have any, you know, places where you can put comments. I guess if you're listening through iTunes, well, you can always comment something there, but there's no direct, I guess, interaction. And a lot of people have been telling me, like, dude, you should put your podcast on YouTube. And I'm planning. It's just YouTube takes more time, you know, to put it there versus just audio editing and putting into the server and goes through the various directories, and that way it can be in different streaming platforms. It's just way more simpler. But I promise you, one day I will be in YouTube as well. United States, number one, United Kingdom. Canada, Australia, Germany, Spain, Sweden, Colombia, Norway, and Netherlands. Thank you so much. To all of you amazing listeners around the world, it really makes my heart very happy to know that. And, you know, some people in Netherlands are listening, or Norway, I mean, or even any of the countries that I mentioned. So thank you so much. The main cities, Los Angeles, California, or the cities that they were among the top cities they were listening to the last episode. Los Angeles, California, or Los Angeles, depending on LA, you know, like if you're a fan of wrestling like me, LA Knight. Yeah. So there you go. Wichita, Kansas, Bogota, also in Fresno, California. In Melbourne, Victoria, Denver, Colorado, Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Tampa, Florida. Thank you so much for listening to, once again, the previous episode where I talk about some interesting games as well. I talk about the Great Wave. I also talk about Four Gardens, I believe. Lord of the Rings, the Adventure to Mount Doom, which you should check it out if you haven't. And which, I don't remember which one was the other one that I took. Oh, Pyramido by Synapse Games. So there you go. Those were the ones that we talked on the previous episode. So if you don't mind, let's go and let's jump into scary times and, you know, spooky times and Halloween and everything. And let me tell you about four games that I've been enjoying. And I think you might be able to enjoy them as well. If you haven't, then maybe if you have, well, you will rejoice in listening about these games. So let's go to the Halloween games. All right, so the first one that I want to talk about, I actually haven't talked that well in the past, and now I'm going to go, you know, more than in a review way, more into telling you how I felt, and of course, explain you how the game plays. And the first one that I want to bring into this spooky episode or spooky season is Resident Evil 2, the board game. Now, Resident Evil 2, it's probably one of my most favorite video games in the zombie genre, or even in the horror genre in general. I mean, I remember playing on the Super Nintendo or the SNES console, the original Resident Evil 2, and it was just very, you know, very spooky to me back then, where you will see on the screen, and of course, like this 16-bit screen, and it will be something like Resident Evil 2 or whatever, like very, very nice pixel SNES voice, I guess, which now I adore. And you know, and you will click start, and then it will tell you, you know, like this game. Well, before that, it will tell you like this game contains scenes of gore and blood or something like that. And then the atmosphere will be already there, right? And then you will go into the game, and it will tell you a little bit of the what happened in Raccoon City, and then you will jump into choosing your character, either Leon or Claire, which, you know, back then it was one of the innovative things, I guess, that it wasn't, you know, very common, I guess, that you will be able to choose two characters that can take the story either in the same way or sometimes in a different way with some events going on, of course, as you were playing with either Claire or Leon. Then they did the remake, which I recently played on the PS5, and it just blew my mind again. And it was, the remake is fantastic, and you know, it's very high detail on the graphics, and just as spooky and scary as these times demand. So definitely Resident Evil 2 is my favorite from the franchise. And it was, I remember it was a very hard game back then, and still a very hard game when I just finished it not too long ago. Now, how this transport to the board game? Let's talk about it. So Resident Evil 2, it was a game that it was published on 2019, and the publisher, it's Steamforge Games, which, by the way, they already released, in case you're not aware, Resident Evil 3, the board game, which we talk about it in some episodes in the past. And also, I just received a copy for review purposes of the newest Kickstarter, Resident Evil, which is based in the, you know, the prequel to Resident Evil 2. So I'm looking forward to play that one in the upcoming weeks. And tell you my thoughts, right? You know, and share pictures on social media as well. But this time we're going to talk about Resident Evil 2. Like I mentioned, it was published in 2018. It has a 7.4 rating or rank overall. 7.4 rank at BGG. It plays 1 to 4 players, 90 to 120 minutes, age 14 year plus, with a weight complexity of 2.3 out of 5. I will say from the three of them, this is probably the more light-ish. And you can tell as you go and play, especially Resident Evil 3, and what I have seen about Resident Evil, is that they try to innovate some mechanics and try to make some twists here and there in that way the experience can be even more immersive. But let me tell you more about this one in particular. The designer is Matt Hard, Richard Loxham, and Sherwin Matthews, and the artist is Thomas Lishman, and once again they publish it's Steamforge Games. So Resident Evil 2, the board game, it's basically an scenario dungeon crawler type of exploration and survival game. On this game, you're going to be playing as the main characters. You can be Leon, Claire, or Tofu, and you're going to travel from the police station to the underground Umbrella Laboratory while you uncover the secrets and escape from Raccoon City. That's basically the synopsis of the game. And as you set up the game, well, you're going to be playing through different scenarios. Now, one cool thing that this game has is that you can play either a one-shot scenario if you would like, and each scenario will have a setup of how do you need to build the main deck of the game and your characters and which ammo and all the stuff, or you can play in as a campaign. Now, my thought right now, I will tell you, is this game really shines when you play it as a campaign. I will tell you why in a little bit. But how it works, well, you're going to have different tiles that, you know, they're going to be in L shape, and each tile, well, they could be an L shape, and some of them are going to be square, 6x6, 8x8, I think is the big one, some other, you know, shape of tiles, but each tile will have different spaces, different square, which basically those are areas where you're going to move. Also, some of those tiles will have a spawn or hazard locations on certain squares, which is usually where you're going to be placing zombies or where you're going to be spawning enemies as the events of the game progresses. But basically, it's a dungeon crawler game where you're going to have many actions, such as you can move. You have 4 actions every turn, so you can move, you can attack or shoot, or you can be like with melee attack or depending on which weapon you're carrying and which if you have enough ammunition to do it. And also, you can, besides that, you can trade items with other characters. You can evade, enemies as well. But basically, how it's going to work is that on your turn, you're going to have your 4 actions. And then between your actions, you can trigger certain reactions for the enemies or the walkers that are there. Well, walkers will be from the Walking Dead, but from the enemies of the zombies that are going to be there. So, for example, if you shoot at one zombie, just like in the game, if a zombie is on the same tile or in an adjacent connected tile that it has, you know, a way to listening to that sound, if a door is open, well, those enemies or zombies or zombie dogs will react and they will move towards the sound, right? So they will react between turns in that way. But anyway, after you do your 4 actions, then all the zombies, even if you didn't make any noise, all the zombies that are, in the tile or the same rules that I just mentioned, they're going to react and they're going to start to move towards you. This is very cool because if we think about how they transport all these from the video game now to the board game, it works very similar. If you remember, in the video game, if you have played, like you're going through a dark, you know, hall or something, and then suddenly a zombie will come and then another one, but they will start to walk slow towards you. Well, they really translate this to the board game in a very cool way. And after you do your turn, then the enemy phase or enemy turn, then you're going to do the event. Now, we're going to have a pre-made deck depending on the scenario that you play with some cards that they will be fine, like nothing is happening, it's just, you know, the mystery, and it will tell you some flavor text, like you can listening into the halls and whatever, and like the shadows are murmuring or whatever you want to call it. And those are the events that nothing is, basically everything is clear, right? So you reveal one card. If everything is clear, you just keep going on the round. For now, there are some cards, like, for example, Echoes in the Darkness or things like that, that will trigger certain effects either for the tiles where you add, or they will activate some enemies or something terrible that will affect your characters. And that will be like the simple way of describing the structure of a round. Now, as you go and explore through the game, one cool thing is like just like in the game, on the video game, you're going to have items that you can find as you go. You can find extra ammunition, you can find, you know, bandages, you can find herbs, spray. Well, I don't think bandages, no, you can get the healing spray. You can also find different weapons, things like that. You can also find the Ingriven, which I will tell you a little bit about how that works. But basically, you can find a bunch of items. And the way they do it on the game is that the board game, they have two, and for each scenario, they will have two decks of cards for items, either items A or items B. Usually, the items B will be, you know, the special things or the harder things to find, but, you know, the one meaning that there's going to be the ones that are surrounded by enemies or things like that, but they will be the more rewarding ones, like special weapons or things like that. And you're going to be just searching through different little tiles, which they will represent the items, the little star tiles, like kind of like a shiny tiles, just like in the game. And the red ones are the B, the clear ones are going to be the A, and you're going to be spending an action to search if you are in the same space as one of them. And besides that, you know, you're always going to have a main objective for the scenario. Either go to a certain room and go to a certain location. Another cool thing of the game is that just like in the video game, you can, open doors as an action and then close the doors as another action. And when you close the door, basically, you basically prevent for the reaction of noise or the reaction of ending your turn to activate to adjacent tiles because you're basically closing the door so they cannot see you or hear you. Or you can stop, you know, for some either a leaker, which they're sort of grotesque, or zombie dogs or zombie to come into the same area as you are. For your character, you're going to have, you know, a health track as well. I think it translates to 5 damage, basically. Otherwise, well, you're dead and you lose the scenario. But basically, you're going to be able to heal, right? But it has a very nice little board where you're going to place your character, and your character will also have some stats in relation to, defense and weapons and things like that. And the health track will advance kind of like in a similar way, like in an EKG tracing, to where you are like very damaged or you're at a high risk of dying, basically. And that's pretty cool as well. And overall, I mean, that's how the game works. You know, you're going through rounds, your enemies are activating, and you have an event deck that can trigger nasty and spooky things towards you. Once again, if you want to play one-shot scenario, and you're like, you know what, I want to play this part of the story, and I want to play against this enemy, which is already, you know, determined by the scenario, you're more than welcome to do it. But once again, this game really shines as you go through the campaign. Why? Because just like in the game, the characters are going to be able to hold only a certain amount of items. I think Leon is 8, and I think Claire is also 8. So items that you encounter on the first scenario, you can print a spreadsheet, or you can find the spreadsheet on the back of the rulebook, where you're going to be annotating, like, okay, I found these items, this ammunition was this amount, and so on and so forth. And as you move to the second scenario, you can either get more rewarding things if you had, you know, certain keys or certain things that will allow you to discover certain things on the following scenario. Now, the scenario book is very nice because it tells you, you know, if you're playing campaign, well, this is what you do. If you're not playing campaign, well, don't worry. This is how you set up. So I think that's pretty cool. I like to play it in the campaign mode because you also get to discover more things on the story as you go. And it feels way more immersive to me versus if you play it in one, you know, one-shot scenario, which you can do if you want to show the game to someone. But overall, I think this game really translates, you know, really transfers that immersiveness and creepiness and spookiness, I guess, to the board. And I like to play this game, you know, solo. It plays fantastically. You know, you can play with two characters. I play with Leon and Claire, and it's very well managed. It's not like you're going to have to, you know, think about, oh my God, like these guys activate in so many ways. Like, no, they pretty much work the same. So that's pretty cool. And also, I mean, it's very immersive, and you get scared. I mean, you don't get too much scared about the zombies or the things like that, or even the leakers, even if they're disgusting. But when you're facing like the main bosses, which they're pretty cool to fight, by the way, you actually know that you have to be prepared otherwise, I'm sorry, you're going to die terribly. And talking about ways of trying to kill them, that's a very cool thing from the board game as well. That, remember how in the video game you have certain ammunition and that was it? Like once you run out of bullets on the handgun, that's it. Like you're done. It's not like you have infinite ammo. Well, here is the same thing. You have like ammo dials, and as you're shooting, you're rolling dice, which by the way, I haven't mentioned the way of attacking, which is with rolling dice. And every enemy will have different stats on which basically results will either push them and which other results will kill them. So as you're rolling dice for attacking, you can spend extra bullets to rapid shot, I guess, if you want to call it. But if you run out of ammo, that's it. You're going to have your knife to try to kill them, but your knife won't do too much, my friends. So you really want to keep your ammo as much as you can and be as efficient as you can, which at the end of the day is luck, because your dice rolling and the results can be terrible for you. So if you mind luck a lot, well, this might be one of the big or significant weakness of the game. But other than that, I mean, to me, it's fun rolling the die and kind of like having that, randomness, I guess, that, you know, that everything can go south or something can go very well. And sometimes you do great rolls and you're like, yes, I got you just in the head. And you know, you're more efficient with the amount of bullets that you have. But I think overall, like, it transports, like, if you ask me, Derek, does it transport, the video game into the board game in an accurate way? Yes, it does. Is it worth it to have it? Definitely. Is it better the campaign or one shot the campaign? The only thing is that once you finish the campaign, and that's where the game can have another weakness, is that the replayability will be like playing the video game again. Because, I mean, maybe you can switch characters and so on, but the story will be the same. Now, not completely, because some scenarios will have A and B, A and B. But other than that, I mean, it's basically the same. I mean, even if you play it twice the campaign, which I think is 9 scenarios on the base game, there are some expansions that you can add, like the B files and such. But once you play through that campaign, well, the story, basically, then you can play it again for fun, I guess, like I play some other games. But I'm just keeping in mind that campaign replayability aspect, right? And overall, I really like it. Overall, I think this game, Resident Evil 2, is probably, for me, a 4 out of 5. It's probably one of my favorite dungeon crawlers. Another thing that is kind of like a weakness to me is the setup, that sometimes it takes a lot of time, especially with me, that I have the 3D terrain doors and stuff, that I like it to look very impressive on the table, or as impressive as I can. It takes a while, the setup, but once you're done with that, if you don't mind, I mean, then you can have a lot of fun and enjoy the game. Like I said, it's very immersive, it plays great, turns are smooth and fast in a way, and definitely the immersion and the tense, it's always there. So that was Resident Evil 2. That's one recommendation that I give to all of you, my friends, if you want to play a spooky game. And if you want to try one of the Resident Evil from the series, once again, it's Resident Evil right now, currently released in stores, currently give it to backers, and Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3. I think the one that I will go is Resident Evil 2, and I think that will be maybe an overall consensus, because I mean, to most of us Resident Evil franchise fans, Resident Evil 2 was probably one of the best, if not the best, from the franchise so far. So there you go. There you have it, Resident Evil 2, the board game, the first spooky game of tonight or today, depending on what time you're listening. Now, another game that I want to talk about, it's another fresh game that came out on Gen Con of 2023 and that you can find pretty much everywhere, and the price is very accessible. And the weight complexity, it's 1 from 5, according to BGG. So it's a very, very, very simple game. And it's based on a very famous franchise of movies, which they have a slasher theme, of course. And you have Ghostface, which is the main guy that is always trying to kill everyone by calling them through the phone and teasing them first. And then there he is on the house and trying to stab them as much stabbing as he can do or as they can do, because, you know, some of the movies, they will have always plot twists and things like that. And of course, as you're guessing, I'm talking about Scream, the franchise of Scream. Now, recently, Funko Games released Scream the Game, once again on Gen Con of 2023, and you can find this game everywhere. I think the retail price is around $20 American. This game, you cannot play it solo. Well, I guess you could, but it won't be as fun. It has a 6.8 rating on BGG. Navigate locations and play cards quickly that match Ghostface demands. 3 to 8 players. Community says it's best with four. I just played it with four 4 nights ago, and I think that's the sweet spot. 20 minutes, age 13 year plus. I don't know, maybe because, well, I do know, and I will tell you a little bit. Once again, weight complexity 1 out of 5, and the designer is Funko Games, and the publisher is Funko Games as well. Now, Scream the board game, or the card game, or simply the game. What are you gonna find inside the box? You're gonna find a precious miniature of Ghostface. He's already painted, which is cool. Which, I mean, at this point, it was just black and the face is white. That's it. But the mini comes painted, and then you have a small board with the different scenarios that they represent the locations. Different locations that they represent the locations of the first movie, Scream. You're gonna have the pool hall. You're gonna have the Macker House, hospital, and high school. For this game, you need an app, and you're going to download the app either in your iOS device or in your Android device or any device that you have. And once you have the app, you're going to shuffle the two decks of cards that you will find in the game, the Scene cards and the Scream cards. And you're going to prepare those Scene cards, which those will be how you progress in the game. Depending on the number of players, they will have, like, you know, like 5, 6, 7, 8, and so on. So basically, you don't put or you don't shuffle the ones of the play, the amount of players that you don't have, right? So if you're playing four players, you're only going to shuffle everything that doesn't have a number and onto four, right? So you shuffle, that's it. Those are your scenes. You give one to each player. And then you also going to have a Scream deck of cards that you're going to shuffle, and you're going to give three cards to each player to start. And also to the player that, I think it's something like use a knife most recently or watch a slasher movie or something like that, you will give them the standing knife because they will be the first player. Now, how is it going to work? You're going to have the app, and on the app, which this is a very cool thing, I think, they use the original voice actor from the movie. And matter of fact, they had a party on Gen Con where if you purchase the game or pre-order the game or something like that, the voice actor was there and he could sign the game for you, which I think was pretty cool. But anyway, I didn't went to. But basically, you're going to download the app, and then on the app, you can take a selfie and take pictures of your friends and put their names, which is pretty cool, because then Ghostface is going to be calling to each of you once you're ready to start. And this is where the age 13 year plus matters, is because when you're about to start, it's going to ask you if you already know how to play the game, of course, and also if you want to play with the hardcore language or just the moderate language. I always play hardcore because I want Ghostface to tell me nasty things. But anyway, once you're ready, then you start. You just click the app, and basically you reveal the scene that you start with, and each scene is going to demand certain symbols that you have to, you know, fulfill in order to complete that scene of the movie. And some scenes will be like, I need 2 DVDs and 1 popcorn and 1 keys, you know, car keys. Okay. And once you complete one scene, then you're going to discard it, and you're going to get another scene, and so on and so forth. Now, in your turn, what you can do, it's either you can complete a scene, once again, fulfilling the requirements from cards from your hand. So in your hand, you're going to have cards that they will have a DVD, or keys, or popcorn, or blood, or phone, or whatever. Either you can, you know, fulfill a scene with those, and basically you discard the scene, you put the cards that you use in the discard pile, which it matters the order, so you place them on the discard pile, and then you're going to get a new scene. Or what you can do is draw a card from the Scream deck, which, once again, those are the cards that they're going to help you to fulfill the scene. Or you can trade one card with another player, but you have to give something, and they have to give you something. It's literally, you know, in some games, they use trade, the word trade, but sometimes it applies that you can give something and you don't have to ask something in return. Well, in this game, you have to for sure. So basically, you're going to be doing that. And as you go, as you finish your turn, you're going to pass the knife to the player on your left, and then they will do their turn. But then suddenly the app will ring, like a phone ring, right? And Ghostface is calling. And Ghostface can tell you either, I'm at the school, right now at the high school, and when I call again, everyone that doesn't have keys, Basically, he's kind of like a, you know, stalking you or taunting you, whatever you want to call it. If you don't have keys, you're going to discard your whole hand. So then you try for the players to, you know, get keys and whatever, and then he will call again. And he's like, okay, now, you know, the ones that are in the high school, of course, with Ghostface voice, I need keys or discard your whole hand. And then if you have keys, discard keys. If you don't have the keys, well, you discard your whole hand. And then the game keeps going. Then at some point, he's going to call one of the players. And this is where the game really has the fun part, in my opinion. Because if you take a selfie, if you take a picture of something, let's say Derek, the phone will ring with my face and with my name. So I mean, he's calling me. And at that point, I place the miniature in front of me. Because previously, you would place them in any of the locations, which what I just mentioned, you know, going to high school or the pool room or to a pool home, sorry, to hospital, maker's house. But anyway, once he calls you, you put the mini in front of you and he will be, you know, I mean, he will mention your name, but he will be basically talking to you and he will be like, you know, Derek, I want 3 popcorn because I love popcorn. And if you don't get popcorn, I'm going to stab you like stabbing, I don't know, a fish. I don't know if it's, the fish doesn't get stabbed. But when you clean a fish, you know, you use a knife to clean. Anyway, that's another subject. But anyway, he will stab you. So, or stab me in this case. And then, you know, he wants popcorn. So he's crazy for popcorn, I guess, in this situation. So at that point, he is asking me that he will come for me in like, he doesn't tell me the time, but usually like in one minute or a minute and a half, and he will require me for me to have the 3 popcorn. If I don't have the popcorn, those 3 cards with popcorn, I'm dead. I'm super dead, fully stabbed. But if I have them, I just discard them and the game keeps going. So that's how you lose the game, if he kills one of the players. And basically how you win is going through all the scenes of the movie. They don't have like a flavor text or something like, oh, this is scene represents where, you know, Cindy at the beginning of the movie, whatever. Like, no. Or Drew Barrymore, I think she was one of the first movie. No, doesn't represent anything like that. Sometimes I get confused with the Scream and Scary Movie, but I think I know which one. I'm thinking about the Scary Movie first scene. It was pretty fun when Ghostface stabs on the lady's chest. But anyway, I'm not going into detail. That was a very fun scene. Oh man, I have to watch Scary Movie again. The first one, it was very funny. But anyway. We're not talking about Scream, we're talking about Ghostface and Scream. But anyway, the you know, that's how you lose. If he kills you and you win, if you go through the scenes, basically a deck of cards, and with that you will go as the instructions like as I told you. And that's it. You can play the game in harder mode or you can play the game in normal mode. And that's it. There's not too much to say other than that with Scream. Now, what do I think about the game? I think if I, you know, I demoed this game, and when I demoed, it was pretty fun to me because I did like one round and I was like, man, this is great. I mean, I actually enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't mind how easy it was and how dumb it was and how simple it is. And I was like, well, you know, this is great because you can bring more, you know, people into the hobby and also, you know, the theme. I mean, the theme and the franchise and everything is like definitely like I love, you know, horror movies and spooky seasons and stuff. But, you know, they were sold out at Gen Con, I remember, and I went to Amazon, you know, just to get a copy next day delivery, in that way I can play it with my friends at Gen Con. And I got it, and I played, I think back then, a 3-player game, and it was like, okay, well, it's fun, it was fun, with 2 friends that they're actually not into board games. But then, recently, I played a 4 players, like I told you, about a week ago. We played it 2 times, and it's just a fun, light, I will say dumb game. I mean, you will like, and if you like the genre like me, you will prefer to have a screen game, you know, more like a board game, more like, you know, like, hey, either cooperative or something, and let's prevent Ghostface to kill one of us and whatever. But this is not that type of game. And in a way, it's okay. And in a way, I hope Funko, now that they have the license, or they probably had the license before because of the pops, but I mean, they can do something cool with this license, like they're doing, I think, with the One versus Many of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I haven't played. I really hope that they do a board game, and I hope it's not a One versus All, which I think that's probably the way to do this, but I hope it's something else. I hope they do at some point. Now, do I recommend this game? You tell you how it works. And if what I told you sounds appealing to you, sure, it's not that expensive. Do I think it's a fun game to have or it's a must-have? No. For which audience I think this game will work? For the audience that I just described, for people that are not into games, let's say you have guests in your place, you know, you have some guests and they come over for dinner or something. They don't play games. They think it's very complicated and they don't want to overthink. Like, we hear all the excuses all the time, right? You know, like, no, I don't like to think too much. They look so complicated and this and that. And everybody that is not in the game industry or the board game hobby and they don't think you play Monopoly, they will be like, oh, like Dungeons and Dragons. Oh, no, that sounds complicated. But, you know, for those crowds, I think this could be a very fun game to, you know, basically you don't have to worry about teaching them too much. And it's just like, hey, on your turn, you either draw a card or you play a scene or you trade. That's it. And it can be fun. It can be very chaotic, be fun. You know, it's also a game that I think you will enjoy more if you're a little, you know, with some drinks. but it's that. I mean, I will keep it. I already have it. I will keep it because I like the franchise and I like to have the little game that it can work out. I mean, for that type of crowd or those types of situations. But will I play it with gamers? I don't think so. I honestly don't, because I think, I mean, we would enjoy it as much as if I played with the other crowd, if that makes sense. So yeah, and my rating for this game, unfortunately, because of that, it probably would be a 3 out of 5. I mean, or even a 2.8 out of 5, because once again, it's a game that it will be based on the type of crowd. And depending on that, it will be how much fun you have. Do I think that there's some love here? Do I think that there's some good production? Yes, I think it does. I think the small box, the decks of cards, the app, I think it's very good and it's great for the game. But does it go above and beyond? And, you know, and it's like, oh my God, it's the game of the year. Scream the game. I hope they release something else. I hope they release a Scream the board game, like, you know, a solid production. And I know Funko Games can do it because they have released, you know, a few very good productions. So this is what I'm hoping for that. But anyway, it's a game that I played during these holidays. And I think I brought it to this episode because, I mean, to these holidays. And, well, I guess Halloween holidays, right? Or spooky times. I wanted to bring it up just in case if you're in that situation that you have, you know, in your social circle, that type of crowd that they're sometimes or most of the times pushing back on playing games. Well, this is a game that you can bring, and most of them will enjoy it, and I think they will have laughs and they will have fun. And who knows? Maybe after that, they will be more open to play other types of games. But anyway, that was the Scream game, and I wanted to tell you about it since I played it, and since it's still new, and since the theme is great and the franchise is great. So there you go, Scream the game by Funko Games. Now, moving on to the next game. Let's talk about a game that it was just delivered to most of the backers, and I hope if you're a backer, you get your game very soon. And it's a re-implementation or a re-implement, I guess, a Star Wars Epic Duels, which is kind of like a holy grail of game. At this point, you know that, or you probably know that I'm talking about Unmatch, but I'm talking about Unmatch Adventures Tales to Amaze. This is a game that it was released in 2023, just recently. Team up in Unmatched to take down the Mothman and or Martian Invader. 1-4 players, 20 to 60 minutes, age 9 euro plus, complexity 2.2 out of 5. The designer is Jason Hager and Darren Reckner. The artist is JJ Ariosa and Benjamin Merle Bergeron, Ashley Florial, and a lot of other great artists. And the publisher is Restoration Games, which they do fantastic productions most of the time. Unmatched Tales to Amaze. Well, what are we doing here? We're playing Unmatched, but now in a cooperative way, which I will tell you, spoiler alert, I really loved it. In the past, when I played Unmatched, I was like, well, this is cool, one versus one, or teams, or whatever, but I wasn't in love with the game. I was like, everybody was going crazy about it, but I just was like, I mean, there's something that is just like, yeah, it's an okay game, like, it's fine, whatever. That was for me before. Now that I play it cooperative and I play it solo, I will tell you right now, it's one of my best solo experience ever, ever. If you are a solo gamer, which you probably are because you're listening to Solo BG Podcast, this is a game that you need to have. You need to go and buy. And this is not a game that they gave me for review. I backed the Kickstarter, you know, campaign. It was just, it's crazy. And why I backed it? Because my friends were backing it. And I was like, well, I mean, you know, I'm going to give it another try, you know, and match and cooperate. Well, it sounds cool, but I never had it, you know, I never imagined the feeling that it was going to transport to me. But let me tell you, basically, you have a big map, and it follows the same rules as on Match, which I'm not going to go into detail, but basically, on your turn, you can do, you have two actions. You can maneuver, which is move up to your character speed, and you can draw a card, or you can, you know, do an action as such as a, you know, some immediate effect, or you can attack, or you basically attack, and you know that the attack, how it works is you put one card face down, the opponent put one card face down, you compare attack versus shields, and then you trigger turn effects according to the battle, according to what the card says, and that's it. Now in this game, you're gonna get four main characters. You can get Nikola Tesla, you can get Annie Christmas, you can get the Golden Bat, which is the world's first superhero, and you can have Dr. Jill Trent. Any of those four you can play. Now, these four characters that I mentioned, you can use them on any other match battle if you want to play one versus one. Now, as an enemy, you get the Mothman and, once again, the Invaders or the Martian Invader. And I'm going to tell you, just to give an example, how the Mothman works and how the game works as far as cooperative goes. You do your turn, just like normal, and then you're going to activate, the enemy. In this case, the minion, the Mothman is going to have some minions as well. You can be playing against the Blob, Tarantula, Skunk Ape, Loveland Frog, and Queen Jersey Devil. Those are the minions that the both enemies can have, and you can choose two or three depending on how hard you want to do it. But basically, you're going to activate them. They're going to try to move towards you, and if they can reach you, they will attack, and the attack will resolve the same way. You're going to place a defense card for you face down. You're going to reveal one from the top of your deck, and you compare, and they have effects as well as attack or defend, and that's basically it. It sounds simple, but it's very, very, very fun and very tense and very highly strategic, I guess. You really have to think where you're going and where are you moving to attack, because otherwise you can get surrounded, that it like it happened to me, and Nikola Tesla was super dead. But it's great. Now, Nikola Tesla is one of my new favorite characters because he has basically two discharge towers, I guess, if you want to call it. With his deck of cards, if every round you're going to charge one of those two, those look like kind of like sort of like antennas, but you're going to charge one of those two, and once it's charged, you can do trigger turn effects on the cards that you play. If you have both charged, well, you can use even powerful effects, so I think that's a very cool gimmick. And the Golden Bat is a superhero. Well, he's very strong at attacking and moving around and flying around the board. The Mothman, what he's trying to do, he's trying to destroy four bridges in the city. If he's able to destroy four bridges in the city, then he wins. And every time that he destroys one, it makes it hotter and hotter and hotter, and he triggers certain effects. He also going to have some doom effects that he's going to be placing on these bridges that are going to cause our threat level to increase, because we're going to have a threat level that every time that it goes to 10 or higher, you know, basically you destroy the lowest numbered bridge on the board. All these bridges as well, if you're next to them, you can discard cards to do different actions, which is pretty cool. And once again, in the case of the Mothman, if he basically disrupts or destroys four bridges on the city, well, thematically, he has overcome the city, and that's pretty cool. I play with the Blob, and the Blob, he starts to leave little blobs. I get acid substances on the city, and if you're there, you're going to get damaged. The Tarantula starts to leave webs. You also basically restrain your movements. The Jersey Devil, he basically, when he triggers at the end of the round, he's going to make you discard cards like crazy, because if you run out of cards on your deck, well, like in the game, you're done. How the game will end, well, you don't have to worry about the minions. You need to just go and kill, in this case, the Mothman. If you kill the Mothman, you win the game. If both of your characters, if you're playing solo with two characters, they both die, well, the game is over and you're dead. Once again, you don't have to worry about the minions, and I think this is a very clever thing that the game has. So how it's going to activate, or how we're going to determine it, who activates in each turn first, you're going to have order or turn order deck. You're going to shuffle them, including the minions and the Mothman and the characters, and you're going to review one. And if it's the Mothman, he will once again activate, try to move towards you. If he doesn't make it, he will advance the trail level by one. And minions the same. And, you know, your characters then will activate and do your normal turn. At the end of the round, once you have all the turns action cards face up, you're going to start to trigger some effects from left to right, meaning that the first one that was revealed all the way to the last one that was revealed, right? And those effects are going to really, 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 really mess up with your goals and ideals to destroy the Mothman in this case, because the minions will start to do nasty effects, like the blob is going to start to leave like little blobs around the city, or the Jersey Devil would really make people in his area to discard cards, and that's terrible because that's how you're going to lose the game. So even though if you don't need to kill the minions, at the same time, you really want to kill the minions kind of fast and as fast as you can. In that way, you can focus just on the main enemy, because at the end, that's how you win the game. And that's basically it. It sounds very simple if you're familiar with Unmatch. But it's, once again, it really surprised me. It's probably, it's going to be on my top list of the year for sure. And it's one of my best solo experience ever. I mean, it's a game that I want to keep bringing to the table. And I wanted to include it in this Halloween special because the enemies, especially the Mothman and the minions, really makes you feel like in a spooky, ambience or atmosphere. It almost feels like thematically, like it works similar to what Horrified does. But even if, this is different, of course. But I mean, it gives me the same vibe. With, of course, cooler mechanics and the characters are just great, the ones that they include in the box. Now, the cooler thing is that, as you know, Unmatch has a lot of releases already about with Marvel and other, non-copyright anymore characters. You can bring any of those characters. It doesn't matter. It can be Jurassic Park, Velociraptors, or whatever. You can bring any of those characters and play versus the enemies on this game. And I cannot wait to do that. My next scenario will be probably with Robin Hood and Golden Bat, and see how it goes, or Bigfoot and Nikola Tesla, and see how it goes. I mean, it's gonna be super fun, and then I'm looking forward to buy more expansions, and try to mix them and match. I mean, and I think that will add a lot of replayability. And of course, they're gonna keep releasing enemies. That's 100% also for sure that they're gonna do it. And this game has a huge future on the cooperative way. To me, it's very clear that this is the way that Unmatch should be played. Cooperative, adventurous, immersive, strategic at the same time. I don't think there's, the alpha player part of on this game, I don't think it will play a big part, just because each character is managed by a deck of cards, and just by that mechanism, it will be very hard. Yes, someone can tell you like, hey, Derek, I mean, maybe you want to be near to me for next turn, whatever, because I'm planning to do this. Well, that's cool. Or you can tell like, hey, I think I'm going to be very good by attack. Or even you can share the cards that you have. And at that point, well, I guess, yes, there could be someone that can try to be a little bit alpha. But I mean, I don't think this game will suffer from that, to be honest. I think there's going to be too much going on and too much chaos that it won't allow it for that to happen, in my opinion. So, like I said, I really recommend this one that I highly recommend. And I think it fits into the spooky theme and the spooky feeling. But even that, it's a game that you can play all year round. So, I mean, any of these games, you can play them all year round. But, this is a game that I really like, that I, I really enjoyed it. And oh my God, I mean, it's one of my best solo experience. And I cannot recommend it enough. I think the difference between the Kickstarter version and the retail version are two things. One, some foil cards that you can add to your deck. One for each of the four characters that are included on this game. So if you care about foil cards, I think that will be only on the promo pack from the Kickstarter version. I don't know if they're going to have this promo pack on conventions or not. And also, the Doom tokens, if you don't have that promo pack, the Doom tokens are basically tokens. Now, if you got the promo pack, those Doom tokens are actually minis. Little Martian minis, or little insect minis that you'll play on the bridges in this case. Or the Martians that will go into different fields, which I won't go into detail how it plays the Martian invaders, but basically it's, they're trying to invade the fields and try to invade the town, so you're trying to prevent it and make sure that you kill that spaceship. But anyway, that's how it works. The miniatures, of course, the production is fantastic. Miniatures already appreciated, like you could expect on any unmatched product. I mean, these are the minis that I don't want to paint. I mean, if someone paints them, that's very cool, but you don't have to because they look beautiful. And I hate to do comparison between publishers, but basically, it's like almost like the same Awakened Realms quality of miniatures, and it's great. I mean, I have said it enough already. Like, probably my the most beautiful miniatures for me are the one from the Great Wall from Awakened Realms. But these minis, I mean, they are fantastic, and I can see people using the minis maybe for role playing games. Why not? They're just very well made. And that's it, folks. This is Unmatched Adventures Tale to Amaze. For me, this game, not the Unmatched universe, this game and this mode of play, for me, this is a 5 out of 5 for sure. One of my favorite games, and it goes into that, you know, I guess, pedestal of favorite games of Derek, where Nemesis is there and all other fantastic games. Well, this is there for sure because it's so good, so great that I can play it a bunch of times every time, and it's just fantastic, and I cannot wait to have more enemies and buy more heroes and mix and match, and I think cooperative will work great and solo will works fantastic. So yeah, 5 out of 5 for me, a high recommendation for you on Match Adventures Tales to Amaze. We keep going with the fourth game of the night, and then of course I will tell you a little bit about a surprise of a game that I have. This is a game that is becoming very popular right now because the movie just came out in movie theaters in US, and I pretty much believe around the world. If you're in US, you can stream the movie on Peacock, the streaming service, or you can go to the movie theater and watch it, which honestly, at this point, I already watched the movie. I watch it at home through streaming. I would probably recommend to go to the movie theater because it's very good. I really enjoyed it. This game, which I came late to the party, is based on a video game. I'm giving you more clues, and that way you can probably which game I'm talking about. But it was based on a very independent video game, which it was a huge success. I just downloaded the game on my Switch console just after I played this board game. And I love the franchise already. I mean, I think it's great, and it's very spooky, and it's very cool, and it's just great to me. The game that I'm talking about, it's another Funko game, actually, when it was released in 2020. And it's Five Nights at Freddy's Survive Till 6 a.m. Once again, if you haven't listened it about what is Five Nights at Freddy, well, Five Nights at Freddy's, it's basically a jump scare video game where you play as a security guard of a Freddy Fazbear pizzeria. I think that's the official name. And basically, your goal is to watch during the night, you know, the place, but some of the animatronics that they used to have there, but they were, you know, from the 80s, they come alive and they try to spook you. So in the video game, kill you. So in the video game, you're literally on one room and you are monitoring different cameras, and you can see as suddenly like one animatronic is in the storage, and then it's in the kitchen, and then it's on the stage, and then it's in the room next to your office, and then you have a door left to right, and you can, you know, close the doors, but as you close the door and as you monitor the cameras, your energy or the electricity on the place start to decrease. So you have to be very strategic on the video game on how you use your electricity. Otherwise, the power will go out and you're just going to listen and then come in a creepy way, and they're going to jump scare you and kill you. So that's the video game, the premise. What do we do on the card game? How do they translate? Just like in Resident Evil, we're talking about another video game. Well, on this game, you can play solo or go head-to-head with another player. Can you survive to 6 a.m.? Basically, if you play it two players, you're going to play two solitaire games. And it's 1 to 2 players. Either way, I think it's fine. 20 minutes, that's the game time. It's very accurate. 13 year plus, weight complexity, 2 out of 5, very easy game. Designer is Funko Games and publisher is Funko Games. So, what I just told you from the video game, let's transport it to the board game here. You're going to have a board where it's going to have the diagram or all these rooms and or a blueprint of all these rooms, and you're going to have your office. On each of the rooms, you're going to have a deck of cards. On the room that it's adjacent to your office at the beginning of the game, there's not going to be any animatronic. It's just going to be noises and things like that as you look through the monitors, which is represented by the deck of cards. And then on the room next to that one, there's going to be one animatronic there, shuffle on the deck. And then on the next room next to that one, which is a little bit farther away from your office, another one. And in the farthest deck, which is the fort, which is the area farthest away from you, which is the stage, two animatronics are going to be there. So how it's going to work is that you're going to have some dice that you're going to roll, and you're also going to have a dial, which is going to tell you, you know, basically the electricity of the place, which you start at 100%. And as you go, and on your turn, you're going to be revealing the top card of each room. And either it could be like nothing is going on, or a card that will trigger some effect, like who is there or something. And if you don't react to those cards, they're going to have an effect usually of moving the top card of a deck that is farthest away, or the same deck where you reveal it, they're going to move it to and shuffle it into a closer deck to your office room, which that basically represents how something, maybe or maybe not, it's coming closer to you. Maybe it's a card that is nothing happens, but maybe it's an animatronic. But if you want to prevent those effects to happen, you can react. And for each of those events that you want to react, you're going to roll a die, and that die will have results like 10, 20, 30, 40%. And that's the amount of electricity that you will decrease from your dial. When an animatronic gets revealed, you have to react. And if you don't, basically what it's going to do is going to advance, you know, just like previously I mentioned, it's going to go to the next deck and you're going to shuffle it, and now it's closer to your office. Now, the very fun part of the game and the strategy of the game is, believe it or not, as you're playing, you usually at the beginning will start to react to a lot of the events, and that way you can, you know, prevent for things to advance toward you. But at some point, things are going to go crazy and you're just going to have to decide either you react or not, because you might run out of electricity. And if you run out of electricity, most likely they're going to kill you and they're going to reach to your room. So that's the part that it is. And some cards will do extra, you know, decreasing energy to your overall energy. And how it plays in two players is basically, or electricity, I should say, you know, whoever survives is the winner. And if both players survive, well, the player that has higher percentage of electricity on their dial will win. It sounds very simple, and it is very simple, but it translates in a very cool way, you know, the video game into the game, into the board game. Did I have fun? Oh my God, I was having the time of my life. I mean, my wife and I, we played it. You can play it solo, it will be the same, but it was so good. The tension, like, okay, oh my God. So Freddy's, I know their names are Freddy, Chica, and I remember the other ones, but basically, oh my God, I know Freddy's in this room. And then he comes. And then you react and decrease the energy. And then he stays there. And then you say, like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to react. But then, or a card got shuffled into the next deck, which is closer to your room. And like, oh my God, did he move or not? So it really translates very well. Like, as you're looking through cameras, you know, through the decks in this case, it's like, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And then suddenly, before you know, boom, he's in your office and you lose the game. Because that's how you lose the game, if any of the animatronics gets into your office. So it's a really cool game. It's a small production. I think the game is also like around $15 to $20 American. You can find them in basically online anywhere. But I mean, I really, really liked it. It really surprised me. I was mentioning on the podcast in Spanish that this is a game that my wife and I, we were at Target the other day, you know, during this month. And we saw this game, and not knowing anything about the franchise, just that, you know, it was Five Nights at Freddy's. And I knew that it was like a horror. I thought it was a kid's video game. I was like, you know what? I mean, my wife was like, get it. And that way you can have, you know, more content for your podcast during October. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get it. Worst case scenario, if I don't like it, well, you know, whatever. I ended up getting it. And oh my God, I mean, this is, for me, it's almost like a hidden gem. I know it's a Funko Games and they're not an indie publisher by any means. But it was like a hidden gem because I discovered this game and I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I think it's very fun if you're in the mood of that. I think it's very fun if you like the franchise. Or even if you don't like me and you want to give it a try, it's very good. They have two games though, you have to be aware. In one of them, you're one of those animatronics and you're trying to go and kill the security guard. That's another one that I haven't played. This one is the one that you are the security guard and the animatronics are coming towards you. I think this game, I like it to the point that I want to buy miniatures or little figurines from Five Nights at Freddy's. In that way, I can place them on the blueprint on the board. In that way, I can see in which deck each animatronic is and give me like a better idea of where they are. Because at some point, the chaos go so much and you got to shuffle the decks a lot that really you don't know, like, was it one animatronic in this deck or two? Oh my God. And that's really like mess you up. And you try to react to everything and the energy before you know it goes down, and then you're out of energy or electricity, and now they're coming for you, my friend. So, you know, and the board is just have, once again, how these workers or per turns, I didn't mention this, but the idea of the game is to survive to 6 a.m., like I said. But how this is going to work is that every round, you're going to have a card that will start at midnight, and then you shuffle, you reveal, I'm sorry, and now it's 12:30. Then you reveal the next one every round, 1 a.m., 1:30, 2, 2:30. If you make it to 6, you survived. Congratulations, you win. If you don't, well, you died and you lose. But I think, other than that, in the board and the blueprint that you have from the locations, I think it will be way cooler if you can put these figurines and, you know, you can see the animatronics going towards you. That will be super cool. I'm actually looking into that in different stores. Every time that we go to a store nowadays, I go to the toy store to see if, like, they have any Five Nights at Freddy's, figurines or something like that. But yeah, it's just a game that really surprised me. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, it's not like 5 out of 5 by any means, but to me, it's probably a 3.5, a very enjoyable game that I really like. I really like it, and I want to play it solo again, and there's zero interaction when you play it to players, none at all, other than you're kind of like, you know, having fun with the other person, and like when I was playing with my wife, we finished the first one, and she was like, okay, let's try it again. And then we said the second one, okay, let's try it again. But, you know, basically, it's fun just to watch the other person, like, hey, you want to react to that? And the other person will be like, well, I mean, no, I don't want to use my electricity. But then you're like, hey, but there was some, I believe there's an animatronic on that room. I mean, you don't know, right? So, and if you don't react, well, he might or she might come up and that's it, you're dead. So it's very, very, you know, fun in that way. It's a game that I can recommend as well. And I think for solo gamers, I mean, this is a very light game, very fast game. Basically, you can play it anywhere. This is the type of game, like, if you're, you know, in an airport waiting or something, or if you're traveling and in a hotel room, you know, small tables, you can play it and you can get in the mood. And, you know, I think it's a good game that for some reason is not getting the popularity that, in my opinion, should have. And once again, the ratings at BGG are very low, 6.3. But I think I disagree. I mean, I think it's a game that I recommend. And I think that if you're a fan of the franchise especially, or if you just went to see the movie, and most likely maybe with your kids or whatever the situation was, I think you will appreciate this game and you're going to enjoy it just like I did. Maybe, once again, not a 5 out of 5 or by any means, but you will really enjoy it. And this is another recommendation that I have to give to you. So those were the four games that I wanted to bring during Halloween. And the last one that I want to talk about, it's a game that I pre-order, and I finally got the notification that I should be getting it, like, in the next few days, and I'm going to play it. I don't care even if we're not in Halloween anymore, and I'm going to tell you all about it. And I'm talking about Halloween the Board Game. Halloween the Board Game is based on the film Michael Myers, basically the original film with Laurie Strode. And it's designed by, it doesn't have actually a rating on BGG because it's just releasing right now, at least when we're recording. But it's a 2 to 4 players, 30 to 60 minutes, age 14 year plus, weight complexity of 2 out of 5. Emerson Matsuki, Trick or Treat Studios is the publisher. And it doesn't say, but basically it's a re-implementation or an inspiration from another great game by Emerson Matsuki named Spectre Ops, which has a 7.2 on BGG and was published on 2015. Basically, on the Halloween, all we're going to do is try, if you're the victims, like Laurie Strode or her friends, you have 4 different locations on Haddonfield, and you're going to be searching through those decks on those locations for the 2 kids from the movie that you're taking care of, and also for the keys to go to one of the cars, turn the car on with the kids, and get out of there. And that way you win the game. And you guess, the player that is playing Michael Myers, well, he's trying to kill the victims, and if he kills them, he wins. Simple as that. It seems like how it's going to work, or better said, how it's going to work, is Michael Myers will have a board with the whole board that the other people are going to be, and different numbers for different squares, and he's going to be, you know, tracking his movements without the players knowing. And then if the players are in line of sight of him, they will see him. If he's adjacent to the players, he will try to stab them. And if he's not adjacent, well, things will happen. And the victims will have different abilities that they can do on their turns, different actions. And they can search on the different areas to once again try to find the kids and the keys to get out. Definitely my cup of tea. Definitely a game that I'm looking forward to, and a game that it doesn't have review yet, but I saw a video from John Getz Games, by the way, you should check it out on YouTube. He has a video about it where he teaches the game. And just by seeing the playthrough, I'm super excited to get the game. And I think this game, it's hopefully going to be also one of my favorites of the year. But once I get it, I will tell you. But I wanted to give you the spoiler on that game as well. And I wanted to kind of like include it and at the same time know which is Halloween, the board game, once again by Trick or Treat Studios, and designed by Emerson Matsuki. And that's the Halloween special. I hope you enjoyed it. Once again, hopefully I mentioned some games that probably they were not in your radar. Probably you were not expecting for me to talk about them. And maybe if you hear now about them, maybe you can get, I don't know, hopefully excited or even rule it out from your ideas or cards or thoughts, you know, of getting them. Or maybe once again you get more motivated and now you wanna go ahead and try them. As always, thank you so much for listening. As you can tell, we're getting back to the consistency with the craziness that is going on with good things with my life. But I'm trying to stay on that consistency now and bring you at least 2 episodes per month. In that way, you can enjoy. And hopefully, you can share with your friends and loved ones and gamers and so on and so forth. Thank you so much for listening. And like always, remember, until next time, see you through the speaker and at the tabletop. Drink tequila, spend summer at a Mexican bar. Crockett and I'm driving my car. Maybe life is simple and I'm making it hard. Maybe I should separate my brain from my heart. Drove my motorcycle, breathe fumes on I-65. Every time I think about death, I feel alive. South of the border, you won't have to try. Wide open skies, get away for a while. Remember the Alamo. Driving home on these Texas roads. Go. Go.